and welcome to Jazz Vignettes from the Hall. I am Maria Leniak. In this special series, music enthusiast Steve Gedrose explores the world of jazz from its roots to the present day. He breaks the fascinating, ever-evolving genre of jazz into easily digestible themes, backed up, of course, with plenty of music examples. In each episode, Steve will introduce you to musicians who were or are some of the key driving forces behind the evolution of jazz music. We recorded Steve's presentations live at the beautiful Old Fire Hall in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon. Annually, between October and April, Jazz Yukon presents 5 concerts as part of their Jazz in the Hall concert series. These events feature leading local jazz groups and are opened with a presentation by Steve, where he provides the background and interesting tidbits about the live music performed that evening. Welcome to episode 40, highlighting the wonderful sounds that emerge from the combination of tenor saxophone and jazz guitar. Steve's enthusiasm for this instrumental pairing is catching. He outlines the history and inclusion of the guitar in jazz combos and tells us how the development of amplifiers allowed the guitar to be heard in any instrumentation, making it a leading voice in many jazz performances. We will listen to this rich sonic blend from such important artists as John Coltrane with Kenny Burrell, Sonny Rollins with Jim Hall, Willis Jackson with Pat Martino, and Joe Lovano with John Scofield. Now, here is jazz whiz Steve Gedrose to tell you more.
Tonight I'd like to highlight some of my favorite combinations of instruments in jazz. That is the pairing of tenor saxophone and guitar. Even though Olivier will play a couple different saxophones for us tonight, he and Romain will share their voices on these beautifully compatible instruments. As I've mentioned in previous talks, the guitar's role has evolved through the history of jazz. It had been a member of the rhythm section in big bands of the swing era. With the development of electric guitars and especially guitar amplifiers, it began to move into the front line of jazz groups to take its place as a potent solo instrument. It could now be heard above the brass and saxophone sections. As the proficiency of guitarists grew, musicians began to combine the jazz guitar with other featured soloists, including the tenor saxophone. I'd like to sample some of my favorite uses of this compelling combination of sounds. My first example is taken from a landmark recording called Kenny Burrell and John Coltrane. This record was made in the spring of 1958 and was initially released on the Prestige record label. As the title states, the two principals were the versatile guitarist Kenny Burrell and the legendary saxophonist John Coltrane. Though Burrell and Coltrane were not frequent collaborators, they were acquainted and had recorded together with pianist Tommy Flanagan, as well as an earlier stint in trumpeter-composer Dizzy Gillespie's band. The track I'd like to play for you is a duet between guitar and tenor sax. Coltrane, ever the intrepid explorer, meets the lyrical playing of one of the most consistently excellent jazz guitarists, Mr. Kenny Burrell. The song they chose to perform together is Why Was I Born? This is a Jerome Kern song composed in 1929 with lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II. It was written for the musical Sweet Adeline and was introduced by Helen Morgan. Many popular vocalists recorded this track, including Billie Holiday, Lena Horne, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, and Dinah Washington. The delicate Why Was I Born is a very special track, as Burrell and Coltrane are captured in a once-in-a-lifetime duet. These men from different aesthetics came together seamlessly to express this inspired musical conversation. This is number one, please, Jim. Why Was I Born, from Kenny Burrell and John Coltrane. Thank you. Was I Born from Kenny Burrell and John Coltrane. My next example combines the considerable talents of another pair of jazz instrumentalists. They are the renowned tenor saxophonist Sonny Rollins and Jim Hall, considered by many to be the dean of modern jazz guitar. Jim is a splendidly sensitive player whose extensive experience in a variety of settings has proven his ability to adapt and contribute to virtually any instrumentation. They recorded together on a highly significant album in Rollins' discography called The Bridge. It was recorded in January and February of 1962 for the RCA label. Jazz fans will know that at the peak of his popularity, Sonny Rollins backed away from his acclaimed music career for a prolonged period of self-evaluation and woodshedding. One of his favorite practicing spots became the deck of the Williamsburg Bridge that spans the East River, which connects the New York boroughs of Manhattan and Brooklyn. This allowed him the privacy that he craved, but also created a peaceful respite for his neighbors, particularly a pregnant woman in an adjoining apartment. This recording was his coming out and marked his return to the jazz mainstream. The track that I've selected is the title track, also called The Bridge. The song credited to Rollins was created in the studio and has a two-chorus construction. One alternates a 6-8 time signature with 4-4 passages, and the other is in straight 4-4 time. It opens with a beautifully integrated lines from Rollins' sax and Hall's guitar and flows into a virtuosic solo from Rollins. Hall's chords push and prod the saxophonist to ever higher heights, with neither man showing any signs of running out of musical ideas. The piece continues with an inspired guitar solo from Jim Hall. So this is number two, please, Jim, called The Bridge. Thank you. Jim Hall. That's The Bridge from an album of the same name issued by Sonny Rollins in 1962 on the RCA label. This brings us to another sax and guitar partnership. This one teams tenor sax man Willis Gator Jackson with jazz guitarist Pat Martino. Like my first example, this record was made in the New Jersey studio of famed recording engineer Rudy Van Gelder. Jackson is usually associated with the jump blues and soul jazz genres of music. His playing was full of honks and squeals, inspired by the big band firebrand Illinois Jacquet. He employed a big fat tone with lots of energy and often teamed up with jazz organ players and, of course, jazz guitarists. Jackson's group tore things up in clubs throughout the eastern United States. During the 1970s, a young guitarist from South Philly called Pat Martino played in the band. While he looked more like a philosophy major than a player in this greasy, funky musical aggregation, once he began to play, one is immediately impressed. Martino had come up in organ groups playing with such greats as Jimmy Smith, Jack McDuff, and Richard Groove Holmes, among others. His affinity for this music was well-earned, and he brought a sophisticated fire to the mix. Jackson and Martino recorded a number of albums together. The track that I'll sample was originally released on a record called Single Action on the Muse record label from 1978. My sample is from a wonderful compilation called Willis with Pack on the 32 Jazz label, released 20 years later in 1998. This track is called Bolita, and it was penned by Willis Jackson. I'm always curious about the origins of names of instrumental tunes, and this one seems to come from bolita, which in Spanish means little ball. Bolita is a type of lottery which was popular in the latter 19th and early 20th centuries in Cuba and among Florida's working class Hispanic, Italian, and Black populations. In the basic bolita game, 100 small-numbered balls are placed into a bag and mixed thoroughly. Bets are taken on which number will be drawn. While we'll have to use our imagination to work this word association in with this lovely ballad, I hope you enjoy Bolita featuring Willis Jackson on tenor sax and Pat Martino on electric guitar. This is number 3, please, Jim. Thank you. The track is called Belita from a 32 jazz compilation called Willis with Pat. For my final music sample, I'd like to jump ahead in time to 1990. This record is by the John Scofield Quartet and features leader John Scofield on guitar with his colleague and pal, tenor saxophonist Joe Lovano. This record is called Meant to Be and was released on the fabled Blue Note record label in 1991. This pair of like-minded improvisers recorded three albums together in the early 90s. Their empathy is uncanny, which may be the result of them being close in age and both coming from the Midwestern United States, where they were exposed to similar musical influences. They came up at a time when one's individual sound was paramount, which they both developed very effectively. The history of jazz is rife with examples of players who respected their elders but longed to push the envelope to create music that was innovative and new. Scofield and Lovano are firmly in that camp. Their careers have taken them in different directions, but they both remain as influential and innovative masters of their respective instruments. I happen to be around their same age and was drawn to this next tune called Eisenhower. Anyone who grew up either in the US or Canada through the 1950s and 1960s was very aware of General Dwight D. Eisenhower. He was an American Army general and statesman who served as the 34th President of the United States from 1953 to 1961, with the ill-fated Richard Nixon as his vice president. Eisenhower was known for his concerns about the dangers of massive military spending, particularly deficit spending, and government contracts to private military manufacturers. This world would be a safer place if our political leaders had taken his informed advice to heart. As with my last example, it's impossible to draw a line connecting this jazz instrumental to its namesake, but that's the beauty of pieces that have no words. You can call them anything you like. This track begins with a shared melodic line between tenor and guitar. We then launch into Scofield's loose limb solo, accompanied by the wonderful Bill Stewart on drums and Mark Johnson on the bass. Soon we are joined by the remarkably distinctive saxophone sound of Joe Lovano. So this is number four, please, Jim. This is Eisenhower from Meant to Be. Mm-hmm. Eisenhower from the John Scofield Quartet. Thanks. I hope that you've enjoyed this brief look at the superlative combination of tenor saxophone and guitar in modern jazz. Thank you.
As you can imagine, there's no end in sight for the creative use of the tenor saxophone and the electric guitar in jazz music. These two voices combine to enhance any composition, regardless of its vintage or style. We hope that Steve's presentation has inspired you to check out other recordings that have captured this magical combination. There's plenty out there. We recorded the live presentation in November 2018. This program was made possible by Jazz Yukon, a volunteer organization that promotes and presents jazz in the Yukon through an annual integrated program of live jazz presentations and jazz education outreach. This episode was researched and written by Steve Gedrose, live recording by Jim Holland, script edits David Sillery, Dieter Gate is our producer, and live presentation by Fawn Fritzen, and I am Maria Leniak.